remember the weirdness of what people say about the age of Aquarius and what we studied last week, anybody?
I'm not sure I remember the weirdness about it. I remember that it's indefinite as far as when the age begins and ends, as opposed to some of the other ages.
Well, let me just review signs. All of them agree it's a time of a new beginning. All astrologers and all the ancient people. A lot of them believe it's the beginning of the end times, or the judgment day. For those Christians that believe in the rapture, they believe it's the start of the 1,000-year reign of Christ, the ones that know about the stars. This idea of Christ consciousness is universal. Sickness will disappear. And the far out ones say that talk a huge amount about UFOs landing and blah, blah, blah. Everyone born during the age of Aquarius will be born with a sixth sense, telepathy, etc. All the world's minds will unite. Some kind of a synchronous event will so-called unite all humanity. Dead will be reborn. There'll be paradise on earth, which will include balance and symmetry in everything. Compassion is universal. Honor and respect are commonplace. The world's religions and philosophies will unite. There'll be universal tolerance. There'll be health and prosperity universal. Prejudice will disappear. Each of us will have greater brain power. There'll be an environmental consciousness. And all the political systems that now exist will be universally despised. So that's...
When's this supposed to...
Huh?
When's this supposed to happen?
Well, at the age of Aquarius.
Yeah.
It's been dawning for about 100 years already, I think.
Yeah. But from our standpoint, the age of Aquarius is intimately related to the Feast of Tabernacles, the upcoming feast here, October 2nd. It's because of the mystery of the pouring of the water, and we've talked about that at length. Well, let's look at some scriptures. Let's go to Isaiah 32. We're going to stay in Isaiah for a while here. Behold, a king shall reign in righteousness, and princes shall rule in judgment. And a man shall be as a hiding place from the wind, and a covert from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. Move down to verse 'These are scriptures that are about all of Judaism and the Judaism before Christ. These were scriptures that would apply to the Messianic age. And so go down to verse 17, 16. Judgments shall dwell in the wilderness, and righteousness remain in the fruitful field. And the work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness is quietness and assurance forever. And my people shall dwell in a peaceable habitation, and in sure dwellings, and quiet resting places. when it shall hail coming down on the forest, and the city shall be low in the low place. Blessed are you that sow beside all waters, and send forth there the feet of the ox and the ass. All right, go to Isaiah 35. These are some of the scriptures that apply to Christ. Start in verse 4. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as a hart, and the tongue of the dumb man sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break forth and streams in the desert. And the parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water, etc., etc. Okay, now go to Isaiah 41. The reason we're reading all this is the relationship of water to the Messianic age. Okay? Do you ever think about water? Just even spiritually, it does all kinds of things. Spiritually, water, still water, is the metaphor for the human race. Running water is a metaphor of the Holy Spirit. The water is used in all of the cleansing activity in the different laws of the temple. But it's used as your burial in baptism. It's absolutely vital for us. We can go no more than 3 days without water. Anyway, water does a jillion things. Waters plants, causes seed to grow. When man makes something, it does one thing, maybe two. But when God makes something, especially something that's as revelatory as water, it does a jillion things.
Wow. One interesting thing I heard about water is, because ice expands, it comes to the top. If ice went to the bottom when it froze, our planet would just be frozen. It'd just get colder and colder.
Amen. Yeah. Anyway, okay, Isaiah, what did I say?
41.
Yeah. Verse 15. Behold, I will make thee a new sharp threshing instrument, having teeth. Thou shalt thresh the mountains and beat them small, and shall make the hills as chaff. Thou shalt fan them, and the wind shall carry them away, and the whirlwind shall scatter them. And thou shalt rejoice in the Lord, and shalt glory in the Holy One of Israel. When the poor and needy seek water, and there is none, and their tongues faileth for thirst, I the Lord will hear them, and I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. I will open rivers in high places, and fountains in the midst of the valleys. I'll make the wilderness a pool of water, and the dry land springs of water. Etc., etc. Again, the reason this thing about water is there's hundreds of scriptures like what we're reading right now. You remember what happened to Moses when he smote the rock so that water would come out instead of speaking to it? Well, he was cursed.
Yeah, he was cursed. He wouldn't be allowed into
the promised land. He couldn't go see the promised land. He could see it, but he couldn't go in. He couldn't go in until he died. But this, why would a rock be the rock that followed them in the wilderness was the source of water. Anyway. Okay, Isaiah 44. Verse 1. Yet now hear, O Jacob, my servant, and Israel, whom I have chosen. Do you understand what that means?
Probably not.
Jacob, my servant. Remember Jacob? Jacob, the word Jacob in Hebrew literally means the way of the snake. Now, I don't know if we've talked about this in here. Jacob never used his real name. He was always son of. Until he wrestled with the angel. And the angel would not let him go until Jacob told the angel his name. Told him his name was Jacob. In other words, he confessed that he was the instead of Christ, the Antichrist. Then his name was changed from Jacob to Israel. And so even our rebellion is a servant of God. He'll use all of that, but what the question is, will he use you? So, I mean, this is why we can be assured that the perfection of his holiness is everywhere, that everything is, every knee is already bowing, every tongue is already confessing that Jesus Christ is Lord. And this is one of many, many scriptures. Okay, now hear, O Jacob, my servant, and Israel, Israel, she who sees God. Of course, now they say it's Israel means a prince of God. No, it doesn't. It means she. Ish is she. Ra is she. El is God. Whom I have chosen. Thus saith the Lord God that made thee and formed thee from the womb, which will help thee. Fear not, O Jacob my servant, and thou Jeshurun, whom I have chosen. For I will pour water upon him that is thirsty, and floods upon the dry ground. I will pour my spirit upon thy seed and my blessing upon thine offspring. Etc., etc., etc. Okay? All right, now let's go to Ezekiel 36. Remember, in Capricorn, we had the dying sheep giving life to the fish. Now in Aquarius, we have the water flowing. I believe at one time the water was flowing out of the belly of the man. But anyway, the water's flowing out of the man anyway. And all of it is going into the fish, Pisces Australis. See that?
Yeah.
Now, you've heard me talk before, when we first studied the dolphin and the type of fish, that the dolphin was a symbol of resurrection. And the fish, it wasn't that the Christians made the fish symbol in the sand to indicate to each other. They were called Ithacas. They were called the fish. Now, and Jesus said, I'll make you fishes of men. You cannot, if I'm a fisher of men, then the fish that I can't catch, they cannot live because you've taken them out of their natural environment. The only way they can live is if there's something else transpires. So the fish are a symbol of the church because they had to die, and then the life came from the water bearer. You understand that? So the fish no longer can use the familiar things to them for their livelihood, to stay alive. They have to rely only on the water bearer for their life.
Wow. Yeah.
This is a biggie.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Everybody see that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's great.
Oh, what's the origin of this particular map? I mean, that's very clear here. I mean, who developed these particular drawings, do you know?
Well, these were a compilation of, I think this particular map was made by that Frances Ralston.
Yeah, I was wondering that.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And she, if you looked at that thing I sent you, I mean, the research, she spent a lifetime studying this. Mm. And that's when a lot of the resources were still extant and she knew where they were. And, like, it took us how many years to find that book?
Long time. We were looking from the 80s to mid-90s.
Really? Well, late? No, I didn't
get
it.
Late 90s, yeah. It was like 97 or 8.
Yeah. I got it in 98.
Yeah. Didn't we find it in England somehow?
Yeah.
Okay.
Wow. How did you find it?
I called Bloom. Bloom was looking for it. And he tried to find every rare book place in New York he went to and had them search all over the place. Mary may have found it.
That's what I'm thinking. I was thinking Mary found it.
Yeah. Well, anyhow, I'm glad she found it.
Sorry.
That's all right, but I haven't. I mean,
and now it's on the internet. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
Okay.
Stop.
Verse 16, and that's important for what I just said. Is important about fish in order to understand this next part. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me saying. Verse 16, Son of man, when the house of Israel dwelt in their own land, they defiled it by their own way and by their doings. Their way was before me as the uncleanness of a removed woman. Wherefore I poured my fury upon them for the blood that they had shed upon the land and for their idols wherewith they had polluted it. And I scattered them among the heathen, and they were dispersed through the countries according to their way. And according to their doings, I judged them. And when they entered into the heathen, unto the heathen, whither they went, they profaned my holy name when they said to them, These are the people of the Lord, and are gone forth out of his land. But I had pity for my holy name, which the house of Israel had profaned, even among the heathen, whither they went. Therefore say unto the house of Israel, Thus saith the Lord God, I do not this for your sakes, O house of Israel, but for my holy name's sake, which you have profaned among the heathen, whither you went. And I will sanctify my great name, which was profaned among the heathen, which you have profaned in the midst of them, and the heathen shall know that I am the Lord, saith the Lord God, when I shall be sanctified in you before their eyes. For I will take you from among the heathen and gather you out of all countries and will bring you into your own land. Now the own land, the land that he's brought us into, isn't that hunk of real estate in the Middle East? It's the New Jerusalem. The land which came down from above that John saw, and it never went back up. It's our overriding reality. Where did I stop, Pete?
Verse, bring you into your own land, verse 24, so we're in verse 25.
Oh, yeah. Then I will sprinkle clean water. And the word sprinkle doesn't say sprinkle. I'll pour clean water upon you, and you shall be clean from all your filthiness, from all your idols. Will I cleanse you? A new heart will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I'll give you a heart of flesh. And I'll put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them. Now let's just go down to 31 real quick. Then you shall remember your own evil ways and your doings that were not good, and shall loathe yourselves in all in your own sight for your iniquities and for your abominations. Now remember when the Apostle Paul said, I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung. The loss of the physicality of things is simple. A lot of people, you can lose the loss of, you can suffer the loss of all things. But it's the loss of the things that made you you, your you-ness. Your opinions and your ideas. That's the thing that needs to be lost. But the mystery is, you shall loathe yourselves. Paul said, he shall count all of that as dung. It's not a mystery. There's no mystery about walking away from dung. Right? You don't sit and play with it. You don't try to mold it into nice little things unless you're really sick. But you still give breath to your own thoughts and emotions. And they're dung. But you will never be able to repent, i.e. leave you all behind, until you come to the knowledge that all of this stuff that has made you you, all the stuff you've learned and thought you knew, and all of that, it's done. It's meaningless. It's dribble. Dribble. Not dribble, dribble. Dribble is this. It's dribbling dribble. Amen?
Better to be filled with the Spirit of God.
Huh?
Better to be filled with the Spirit of God than wallow.
Than dumb,
right?
Yeah. All right.
I would say that's sort of an understatement.
Right? Okay, now let's go to this fasting one in 47, Ezekiel 47. Afterward. He brought me again unto the door of the house, or the temple. And the threshold of the house... Wait a minute. Went to the door of the house, and behold, waters issued out from under the threshold of the house eastward. For the forefront of the house stood toward the east, and the waters came down from under, from the right side of the house, at the south side of the altar. And he brought me out of the way of the gate northward, and led me about the way without unto the outer gate, by the way that looketh eastward. And behold, there ran out waters on the right side. And when the man that had the line in his hand went forth eastward, he measured 1,000 cubits, and brought me in through the waters, and the waters were to the ankles. And he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters, and the waters were to the knees. And again he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters, and the waters were to the loins. And afterward he measured 1,000, and it was a river that could not that I could not pass over. For the waters were risen, waters to swim in, waters that could not be passed over. And then he said unto me, Son of man, hast thou seen this? That's pretty interesting.
What does it mean?
Well, you should read the earlier part, and then but it's the guy that he had a measure, and he's measuring the temple. And he's measuring it, but the significant thing is, in the court of the temple, there's the court of Gentiles. It's a big monster court. Then you go, up some steps, and it's the court of women. And you go up some steps, and that's the court of Israel. Then you go up some steps. Then it's the court of the priests. Then you go in, and it's the inner court, the Holy of Holies and the holy place. Well, when he measured the temple, the first thing he did was they left off the court of Gentiles. But then these waters kept rising until, I believe, the only thing left is the holy place and the holy of holies. And the reason for that is that word for temple is a specific word in the scriptures. And we studied this one night in here, I believe. And it's the word that says where you are the temple of the holy of the living God. It only that word for temple there only means the holy place and the holy of holies. And when it says the Antichrist shall set himself up in the temple of God, it's that same word. It's only the word for the holy place and the holy of holies. And the waters have gone all the way up so that only the holy place and the holy of holies still exist. And that's us. And all the other parts of the temple have lost their function. There's no more offering for sin. There's no more trespass offering. There's no more cleansing. It's only your death. Amen.
Amen.
A little bit. So the waters here serve a purpose other than life-giving. It's the revelation of the temple. Now, that's just my opinion.
Oh, it's interesting.
All right, let's go to Acts chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, again, the room that they were in the court of women in the temple. And that's what the word house there, in verse 2, it should say temple. They were trying to hide out because there was a price on all of their heads. Because Christ the Passover just 50 days earlier. So they're trying to be inconspicuous. And they were living in the upper room at Mark's house. And Mark had an estate, his father did, so it was a big mansion almost. And every building in Jerusalem, every home, had to have an upper room. And that's where the pilgrims stayed rent-free when they went to the feast days. And the payment to the landowners was the skins from the sacrifices that they brought for sacrifice. So anyway. So here, then you can imagine that Peter and all those guys telling all those 120 people, say, okay, don't make yourself be inconspicuous. We have to go to the temple because if we don't, we'll be cut off from the people. We have to fulfill this feast. But don't do anything to draw attention to yourself because there's a price on our heads. So they're trying to be inconspicuous, and above each of the 120, there was no fire on their heads. There was no wind. It was this sound, because what happened is eternity opened above the heads of each one of them. The veil between time and space was rent above the head of each one of them, and it was the sound of a mighty rushing wind, the wind of eternity, and it was the fire of the sword of the angel that's keeping the Garden of Eden, that nobody can come in. And that's what they saw. They saw, it wasn't fire, but it looked like fire. And it wasn't wind, but it sounded like wind. And they were certainly not, it's just part of, to me, God's sense of humor. It was mocked us again. Yeah. Can you imagine us? Okay, guys, yeah. We can't be, dress differently and don't speak, because everybody, if you're a Galilean, you speak like an idiot anyway, so
keep your mouth shut.
You have a southern accent or something.
That's funny.
Anyway, the reason that we're reading this is because, let's start, I don't want to go through a whole thing, but just start in verse 17. This is Peter's great speech. Everybody thought they were drunk because they were. And Peter says in verse 17, or 16, "But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. It shall come to pass in the last day, day said, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall dream dreams, and your old men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and my handmaids, I'll pour out in those days my spirit." So something happened. It went on all the human race, but then something different happened. They made this distinction here, and this is exactly a quote from Joel. This was what happened 2,000 years ago, was the last day experience of Pentecost. Do you understand that?
Say it again. What happened 2,000 years ago?
Was the last day. Anybody understand that?
No. The last day of
the universe.
That? Why are we?
Well, actually the last day started at the crucifixion of Christ when the sun darkened. We've been in the night of the last day for 2,000 years. Waiting for his people to enter to be at rest. Perfect rest. All
right. Right.
Well, what a time to be here. 2,000 years ago. One night later.
Let's go to Revelation 22. My pages of my Bible stick together. Shut up, Pete.
Sticky stuff.
Huh?
You shouldn't be eating candy and stuff when you're.
Oh, you know this Bible is? I got this Bible from the publisher of this. I forgot who the publisher was. They just came out with this new Bible, and I interviewed him on a television show, Royal Publishers. I got this in 1972.
Yeah, really?
Anyway, But it's all screwed up because it's, if you go to the Book of Esther, you'll see wine all over the place.
I wonder what happened there.
Somebody must have stole my Bible.
Yeah. Revelation 22.
Verse 10. And he saith unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according to his works shall be, as his works shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, and that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things. In the churches, I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Amen? That's enough for Aquarius. Everybody understand Aquarius a little better? Anybody have any questions? I can't believe you don't have questions, Mary. You always have
questions.
Well,
I do, but it doesn't pertain to our lesson.
Well, that's all right. We'll wait. We're done with Aquarius, so we're going to start. The next one is, anybody remember what's first sign is? The first decan.
The first decan of Aquarius?
Yeah.
I know, I don't know the order, but I remember we talked about the swan. Was that the next one?
No. The first decan of Aquarius is Pisces Australis, or Pisces, Southern Pisces. The second decan is Pegasus. And the third decan is Cygnus, Swan. The Pisces one, we don't have time to get into that tonight, so... Because there's some amazing stuff in it.
Well, that analogy or story about fishers of men and the water going straight to the fish, it's a perfect illustration. It's a great takeaway for the evening.
Mm-hmm. Well, we got Mary's questions.
Oh, okay.
You sure?
Yeah.
Okay. It's in Ecclesiastes 8:8. Now, in my Bible, it says...
Unless your Bible and my Bible say the same thing, we're going to be in deep trouble.
I know. Okay, I'll read it.
One of us will be in deep trouble.
I know who it is, too. There is no man that hath power over the Spirit to retain the Spirit, neither hath he power in the day of death. But this other one says, so no one has power over the day of his death. Now, which does it mean over the...
It's, what is it, what verse?
Ecclesiastes 8, verse 8. Neither hath he power in the day of death.
Yeah, yeah, it means you don't,
You don't have any power over the day of the dead.
No.
Okay. I have a question about that. What about when you commit suicide?
You're already dead. It's appointed on the man once to die. The death happened at the cross.
Okay. So that's the death that is. It's not talking about your...
No.
Okay. Okay. I have another one. This one is Ecclesiastes 1:18.
I love Ecclesiastes.
I do too.
Do you know, did you know that all of Ecclesiastes, an incredible series, is on the website?
Really? Yeah. Oh, good. No, this is not 1:18. I don't know where it is, but it says, for with much wisdom comes much sorrow, the more knowledge, the more grief.
That's 1:18.
Is it?
For much wisdom is much grief.
Yeah.
And the heat of knowledge increases sorrow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why?
Because if you see the stupidity of the world, and you invite more suffering, and you make all men hate you.
Okay.
That is,
that seems simple when you explain it. All right, then. Yeah. Okay.
Okay, let's go to free wise. Let me ask you some questions.
I'm not the teacher.
Let's go to.
What?
Chapter 3.
Okay.
Verse 15. Well, that which hath been is now, that which is to be has already been, and God requireth that which is past.
What does that mean? I don't know.
I'm pretty sure I can't alter anything.
What does it mean, Pete? Help me.
It seemed like that
I
was
think it
without
just
time.
It.
There's
no time.
No time. If that's to understand that, you've got to stop thinking linear.
Yeah.
Okay.
You've got to think of it as no time.
Well, that's it refers directly to Romans 12. I mean, the Romans 12 refers to this, actually. It says, let's go there. So you don't think I'm making it up.
Be not conformed to this world.
No. Yeah, I mean, that's the scripture. But I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good, that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, the word there, that you would be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The word renewing is anakinesis. And it means a gradual or a conforming to that which already is. And so our only purpose in being is that which hath been, the fullness of Christ, is now. That which is to be, the fullness of Christ, has already been. And God requireth in you all of the things that have happened up to this point, so that you would see the mystery and not just have it be a philosophy, it'd be manifested.
Wow.
Amen?
Wow.
It reminds me of what we just read, I am the root and the offspring of David. He was before and after.
Right. No, it's you know, to sit. Everything that the modern Christian church is doing, and this is what we'll see in Pisces Australis, everything the modern church is doing is to trying to make itself, themselves, acceptable to the God of this world. And they don't realize it. And especially now with the prosperity gospel. That's just, it's just, and again, that's all our minds are capable of wanting, is to be acceptable to the, because Satan is the father of our minds because of the fall. And so everything our mind does tries to keep us away from the revelation of Christ, tries to keep us alone, but yet have the appearance of success. That's why hypocrisy reigns. You go to church and sit, and you don't have any idea who you're sitting next to. The pastor says, turn to someone next to you and tell them you love them. You dumb fuck. I didn't say that. Forgive me, Father. It was Pete that said that.
I'll offer a little trivia. We bought an astronomy book just to have some good pictures and things, and I read a little piece of information today. We're always trying to acquire stuff, and I read in this book, there are enough stars in our galaxy alone for every person on Earth to have 40 of them. 40 stars, much less planets and everything else that goes with it. You know? And that's just one little galaxy, and there are trillions of them.
And that's just in our galaxy, right?
Yeah. So, you know, I mean, God's got plenty of stuff, you know, if he decided, yeah, that was a good thing.
Did we talk about the day on Earth is 24 hours? Unless you're at the pole, and then it's different. But the day from the ecliptic standpoint is 25,800 years. Remember that? Mm-hmm. But the day that from our constellation, the whole Milky Way, it has a center point also. Uh-huh. And that length of that day is 220 million years.
And that's our galaxy. Our
galaxy, the Milky Way. Galaxy. But if you go...
That's our solar system going around a center point in our galaxy.
Yeah, okay. And if you go to the next wherever, the day could be a billion years.
for the galaxies to rotate back to where they were.
So, I mean, it's these little stupid things that man, especially religious people. All right. Anything else? Any prayer requests or needs?
Well, yeah. I was driving with Ferwini today. I went with her to her appointment at INS.
Who?
Ferwini, my friend, African friend.
Oh.
And we got on the I-5 cloverleaf for both during heavy rain, and she hit, and there was this massive thing of water falling across, and she hit it, and we swerved into the other, completely knocked us into the other lane. There was an 18 we were there just moments before. We could have gone right off the, you know, her aiming off, you know, 50, 100 feet, however it might be worth.
Where were you?
We went to, there. INS has a center over on Skillman, and
Where was it? The 1,500 feet?
Oh, 100 feet. We were 100 feet in the air. Cloverleaf over Central Expressway.
Okay.
Getting on from off of 635 on back onto before we get on Central. So we were made a miracle.
You'd have had a big boo-boo.
Yeah.
What, at what time was that?
This was during the heavy rain around noon, maybe, or quarter till, something.
Yeah, it was raining. Yeah.
Well, pray for me. I'm this this muscle spasms are just horrendous. I can't sleep. So I've been almost without sleep now for 3 days. Well, I get a little, but you know, I wake up 45 minutes later.
I guess you have no idea why they just you quit for a period feeling pretty good.
They started when he started physical therapy again.
Yeah.
Really? Are you still doing physical therapy?
Well, I mean, I'm sporadically.
Yeah.
But I can't do anything. I can't drive. I can't make any appointments. I do it. The only thing I do is to make sure that I'm able to teach on Wednesday nights and teach in the morning. Everything else is gone.
Well, thanks for teaching tonight. We weren't sure from what they were saying.
If I'm not, I'll call. I'll let you know. There's no, you can bet on that. I mean, I'm never going to just not be here.
Yeah.
All right, but pray for Rachel. I mean, Paris got more rain than we did. But I didn't turn that off.
I would turn it off.